Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
Okay.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Now, it's time to go inside the green room with Danny Green.
Let's go to Salt Lake City because, boy, oh, boy. John Collins, Ayos Mios, he got banged on, put on a poster, Anthony Edwards. So
I'm going to start a campaign for these guys that are getting punched on by Anthony Edwards for offensive fouls because it's getting out of control. He's not only punching on them, but he's actually punching them in the face at the same time. Oh, I feel bad for Collins. He got decked. They said contusion, but no concussion or something like that. He had a head. So he got a head contusion.
Head injury.
But no concussion. But, I mean, I guess when you're in the air like that, everything is legal, especially when he gets to the rim. So you got to get out the way, man. But, no, his dunks, I feel like every month there's a new career dunk for him. Oh, it's the best dunk of my career. Throw it off the backboard. Catch a body. Catch another body. And it's like – This guy is he's gonna be one of the Vince Carters of the NBA's as maybe not as you know in the air of doing some tricks type of dunks, but the bodies that he's catching, you know, Dominique Wilkins, those type of dunks that he's catching, he's gonna be in the NBA as one of the best dunker, probably the dunker on people in the history of the game if he stays at this pace.
Yeah, man. I mean, you got to go back to even his rookie year when he dunked on Yuta Watanabe. Oh, mm-hmm. My gosh, that was vicious. I think when I saw the highlight last night, I said to myself, dang, bro, I wish I saw this live. And now I'm saying to myself, am I really going to have to watch every Anthony Edwards game just to make sure I get to see that moment? Like, yeah, it was great seeing the replay. But could you imagine? Nobody wants to watch a Timberwolves Jazz game. No. But could you imagine actually watching that live on your couch or – even in person,
like yeah, I would have jumped out the crazy. Couch. Yeah, I would have jumped out of the couch. But he is must see TV, and that's why a lot of people are I wouldn't say encouraging, but they're promoting him to get to a better city. But you know, he could take this organization to new heights. And yes, he is must see TV. So anytime you watch him, no matter who they're playing, top team, bottom team in the league, he's gonna do something special, and that's, you just never know when it's gonna happen.
I will say this though, Danny. As great as it was, if he was Jalen Johnson, he would have really broke the internet. I, in my heart of hearts, and I love Anthony Edwards as a player, and I think the dunk was still spectacular. The Jalen Johnson dunk on Austin Reeves in all aspects, being at crypto.com, the actual pose that he had when he dunked, the fact that it started off the game. And no, oh no, you do not want Austin Reeves' perspective from that on that dunk. That one, Danny, honestly believe, I know Anthony Edwards' dunk is probably going to go down as the dunk of the year. I truly believe the Jalen Johnson dunk was better.
Oh, it's up there. And both bodies, both dunks were unbelievable, bro. They're insane. So they're neck and neck. It's hard. They're different types of bodies. You know, Jalen Johnson kind of teabag, you know what I'm saying, type situation, kind of cleared somebody. You know, and Edwards body to body, and the person who did it on who jumped is John Collins. Yeah. He's not just some regular guy, he's very athletic. So I think that's why he gets the edge. And Jalen Johnson's also 6'10 or so. Mm-hmm. And Edwards, crazy enough, and he might be too, but the first time I saw him,
from,
I was like,
Anthony Edwards left from far away too, like man, one step inside the free throw line.
Yeah, behind the dots off 2 feet, and he's doing it ridiculous. I said body to body on John Collins is pretty nasty, but both of us said. both unbelievable plays, both young prospects that are, have some good stuff coming in the near future for us, or in the long future. I think they're going to be, I think Jalen Johnson has a potential to be a really good player as well. And yeah, it was a great start to the night. Well, I won't say start to the night, but they started the game that way with Jalen Johnson stuff.
Yeah.
It's like the first play of the game. That's a wake-up call for Austin. That's a, yo, hello, wake up. You know, if you weren't ready for the game, you're going to be ready now. So, but yeah, now they just put themselves at a standard where it's, they're going to get so many more easier baskets at the rim because nobody's going to want to be there. People are going to get out the way. You've seen, I don't even see Jalen Johnson's second dunk. It might have been nastier, even though it was on nobody. He goes baseline and he windmill reverses it. It was like in traffic. Oh,
yeah, I did
three
see that.
People.
I did see that. Yeah.
That was nasty. So when you pull off certain dunks like that, you're laying, like I said, Vince Carter getting out the way. Nobody wants to be a part of that. Nobody wants to be in that poster. So once they see you're about to take your launch pad, guys are getting out the way.
Hey, man, I ain't mad at it. And so we talked about one star on the rise, Anthony Edwards, to another star. Let's go to another star now who's actually on a downturn. Let's talk about Tyrese Halliburton and the Indiana Pacers. Over Tyrese Halliburton's last five games from the three-point line, 1 of 9, 1 of 9, 1 of 6, 2 of 6, 1 of 6. That's his last five games. If you want to go back to the last 9 games of Tyrese Halliburton, shooting 41% from the field, 17% from three, and honestly, on the defensive end, he has been struggling there too. I don't know what's going on with the Indiana Pacers, and all of that early season love that they were getting has really dissipated. Yes, they no longer have Buddy Hield. They traded him away. And obviously, Benedict Mathurin is done for the rest of the season with his injury. But boy, oh boy, all the good feels are gone, Danny.
They're struggling. Period. No, they're struggling. But that's bound to happen. I think they also, I'm going to say, wasted a lot of energy. But, you know, they're still young guys, still young group trying to figure out the changes make things difficult. The injuries make things difficult. Like, he's had a couple injuries. The hamstring injury, I don't think he ever really bounced back chemistry-wise or rhythm-wise after that injury and then coming back to a new group. But that's the life of a shooter. That's the life of the game. You're going to have struggles. You're going to have weeks, months, or days where you're going to struggle and sometimes be longer than others. He's still a great player. He's still learning to play with Pascal. But also, he put himself at a standard, which was unbelievable. You know what I'm saying? Like, to try to keep where he was playing at in the beginning of the season, I think was hard. Not many people can do that. If he did do that, he'd be one of the greatest players of all time. You know what I'm saying? Like, Jalen Brunson's at a really good – he's one of very few who's really good at keeping a steady pace. But the way Tyrese was shooting the ball, assisting the ball, and having Indiana play at a certain level, which they had no business playing at, was unreal. You know what I'm saying? So it's hard to upkeep that, especially as a young player. If he were to continue to do that, he'd be a Jason Kidd. He'd be a John Stock. Like, he'd be finished as one of the best point guards to ever play this game. And Jalen Brunson, if he keeps at the pace he's at, he will be in that conversation as well. I just think that he started off really hot, and it's an unfair expectation, unfair to put him at, to like compare him or to place him in that category as this guy. Like, some people have good waves of emotions, good series. To keep a guy and that's it, like, he should play like this all the time, is that's ridiculous. You know what I'm saying? It's an unfair expectation. But it said he had a great start to the season. We knew he'd cool down a little bit, and I still thought he was a great player, but he's just struggling right now, and I think he's figuring it out. But Indiana, like I said, with the changes, they have to, you know, figure something out. They need to make some more moves this offseason and find something that complements him better. Or, you know what I'm saying, he's going to have to do it himself and find a way to get back to that level of play.
Yeah. It's quite unfortunate where they've kind of gone, but, you know, it is what it is. I think that, to your point, the future is very much still bright. I do wonder, though, and I don't think this happens, but there was a wide spread belief that when they traded for Pascal Siakam, considering all the capital they gave up, that Siakam was pretty much a signed, sealed, and delivered to get a max contract, kind of like a handshake agreement. That was the belief, at least. Considering their downturn, I wonder how that pans out. Yeah, you don't want to go back on your word because you end up being frowned upon, but it's an interesting circumstance for the remainder. It's an interesting circumstance for the next year and a half or next 6 months of Indiana Pacers basketball. How do they really think this is the roster that is worth giving out two max contracts to when they're already paying Miles Turner. And obviously, if Benedict Mathurin keeps going up, he's going to want to get paid too. I don't know.
For sure.
Seeing what they have now, it does not feel like Pascal, this is what you're... Go ahead.
And if you're Pascal, do you want to stay there? If they're losing, they're not winning. He seems like he's back in Toronto. You're just in a different location in a city that's not as great. Not saying Indiana's a bad city, but Toronto's one of the amazing cities to live in and play in. Obviously, it's in the States, so it's a little different. But why sign back if you don't see the potential of it being different than Toronto? If there's not winning, there's not chemistry. He hasn't signed an extension yet. Why would that entice him to be like, oh, yeah, I want to definitely come back here because they traded for me? You don't owe them anything. You know, teams aren't loyal to you, so why would you be loyal to them?
That is very much true.
They might have traded for nothing. They might have traded for him to not even be there for a couple of years. So we will see.
That would be quite something. Or I don't even know if they could do a sign and trade. Who knows? It's going to be an interesting offseason for the Indiana Pacers. The way they're looking right now, it does not look like they even have a chance to upset the Boston Celtics. Maybe still they can upset the Milwaukee Bucks, but I don't think they have enough firepower now.
Not anymore. Not anymore. They don't have it. No Mathurin.
Healed.
Buddy's gone. I said they're still making adjustments. I don't know how Rick's adjusting with bringing in McDermott, but they don't seem like they have the same energy or rhythm or upbeat or that I guess the atmosphere that they had during the play-in time. Like I feel like a lot of it was after that they kind of just ran out of gas.
Yeah, for sure.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
All right, we got one more topic here before we break down the NCAA tournament bracket on the men's side. Yo tengo una pregunta. How many days or games do the New York Knicks at full health need to have to feel comfortable going into the playoffs? Una pregunta número dos. How many days or games does Joel Embiid need to play for the Philadelphia 76ers to feel comfortable going into the playoffs? I say that because last night, Jalen Brunson, oh my gosh.
Yeah.
So,
night in, night out.
Damn. Good. His
full night in, night out. Did it against Sacramento. Golden State. He's doing it against everybody, bro. He's one of those guys. He's a very smart, crafty player, night in, night out. And you know, he's well coached. And I think that starts with his dad, man. He's got the guy mentally tough, mentally locked in. And I saw something randomly about Christian McCaffrey and how his dad had him on a wild ass diet and just how recovery mode since high school. And I don't know if Jalen's been on that with Rick since that time, but you could tell he's had a pro mind for a long time now. And
that's half the battle.
That's half the battle. And that's taught into him. You know what I'm saying? That's trickled down. That's in his DNA. So, but he said he's so, so good, bro. He's unbelievable. They have a really good shot with that guy there for cheap. They got him for cheap. And everybody thought, you know, why would you pay this guy this much money? Got him for cheap at a deal. You just got to surround him with the right pieces. Yeah. You got him at a discount.
You know who's also a discount, too? We won't talk too much about him. Deuce McBride, 3-year, $18 million. He scored over 25 points last night, and he locked in trail with Steph Curry the entirety of the game. Steph didn't have his first field goal until, like, I think the midway point of the second quarter. He played great basketball, and I think he played 45 minutes? He was spectacular. But the thing about Jalen Brunson that I really have grown to appreciate, and at first I was like, man, the Knicks play at such a slow pace. But it reminds me – you know what it reminds me of, Danny? I forget what year this NBA Finals was, but it was the NBA Finals where it was the Cavs versus the Warriors, and LeBron had that crazy game one where he dropped 50, but J.R. Smith kind of messed it up at the end, the famous Hennessy meme game. But what was so impressive about that performance from LeBron is that he didn't run up and down the court with the Warriors. He played it at a very slow and deliberate pace, reduced the possessions, and every possession for his team was efficient. And I think that's how Jalen Brunson is operating with the New York Knicks. He's barely getting over the half court line with 16 seconds on the shot clock. He's waiting to the very last minute because they know they can't run up and down with teams because they don't have a lot of isolation scoring. But if you play it at his pace, the Knicks have a chance every single time.
Well, I think that's part of his game, but also Tibbs and their game. It's smart. And certain teams you don't need to try to keep up with. You just don't have the personnel to do it, especially with injuries. But to answer your preguntas, your questions one and two, I think for both of these teams to feel comfortable, for Joel to feel comfortable, and for New York to feel comfortable, I say 10 games is fair. I wouldn't say a bit much, but I say 10 games would be great. I think you need at least 7-8. You know what I'm saying? Like seven games is a good number to be like, all right, you know, we could build off this. But 10 games would be a really good spot for both these teams. We feel really great about it. Like, we got 10 games with this guy under his belt. He getting back in playing shape. Because there's so much you can do in drill work. You know what I'm saying? Like, I can go out and play tomorrow for sure. I won't be in my best rhythm. I'll be – because I just never – haven't played in so long. I need some time. I need a week or two to feel like, you know, playing shape instead of drill work. Drill work, you can do that all day. Run miles and miles. It's nothing like playing an NBA game. You need that to feel – bet to get your rhythm, to feel it, or get in that type of shape. So for both of those groups, I think the good answer, or the answer for them to feel really good, would be at least 10 games. But if not, if they can get seven, it'd be cool.
Yeah, I hope to see that for the New York Knicks. I hope to see that for the Philadelphia 76ers. I'm a basketball fan, man. I want to see every team healthy. I know that's not realistic, but I love to see every team healthy going into the playoffs. All right, when we come back, that time, y'all. March Madness is upon us. We're going to break down our brackets. Danny has his Final Four. I got my Final Four. And something leads me to believe Danny has the Tar Heels winning the whole thing. We'll be right back.